así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war. It's a war.
Was at the auction.
Yeah, is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah.
Talk about how gay the auction
I
was?
Wanted to go to it so bad.
Wanted to go to the board game one. I want to talk about the mini one.
Oh, the mini one.
Mouth breathers everywhere.
Oh, you know, actually, it was not bad.
Mouth breathers and foot shufflers?
Yeah. Oh, it was nowhere near as crowded as it's been in the past.
You're recording?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna stop munching out these fucking Funyuns then.
Please, because that's the last. You're disgustingly stinky enough as is during the podcast.
Funyuns are fucking delicious.
I didn't
prep good enough though. I didn't, you know, eat like chili or anything, so I could really give back the taste.
We have a lot to talk about on this podcast.
We do. This is a mega cast.
This is a mega cast.
This is a super cast.
I was playing Smite.
Smite.
Yeah.
Smite. I don't know what Smite is.
It's a MOBA game.
MOBA?
Yeah, MOBA.
What's that?
League of Legends. You ever play League of Legends?
Oh, League of Legends, okay. Right. I've seen it, and I just go, this internet community looks almost as bad as bronies.
Yeah, League of Legends I'm not a fan of. I don't like the click to move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got StarCraft controls. I don't like that, but... But, Smite has World Warcraft style. So you move with WASD and you aim with your mouse.
Yeah.
The superior control scheme.
The superior control scheme, yes. So like you've got like if
oh
you want to run
just suck each other's dicks right now.
If you want to run, you turn your mouse and you run away. And then it's got all the standard like MOBA rules, so there's towers and creeps. It's different from League. I never really played League because again, the control scheme puts me off of games. It's like why I don't play Diablo 3.
I just see enough of the fan art on like DeviantArt and stuff like that where I just go, ew!
By fan art, do you mean pornography?
Yes.
Alright, fair enough. Yeah. There's pornography of everything though. Come on, that's one of the basic rules.
Yeah, Joe, isn't that Rule 34?
Rule
34.
Yeah, Rule 34.
He's just going to be able to pick us all up. And
it will be, this is what we've been using for years and years and years.
I don't know.
And by years and years and years, I mean months.
I just remember the microphone.
The sweet mics.
Yeah.
I
can't run three mics. That's the only reason why I have to do it this way.
You call yourself an audio-visual technician.
I could have brought my Rock Band mic.
I have three mics, but I can't open them all up the machine.
We would have been sweet. We could have the wind buffers and other thing. Be like, and what do you think about that, Pat?
Well, anyway, for those turning in, I have no idea what's going on. Welcome to the Game Classy Play On Super Mega Podcast.
Mega Cast.
That's
Prime.
I hope you're enjoying your butter and toast.
You ever seen the Starscream Flash?
No.
Oh man, I got to show you the Starscream Flash. So,
it opens up
immediately with RC, and she's like, "Put your big dick in my pussy right here," and the little like defensive flap thing flies up off her vag. And Rodimus Prime is going up on there, and Starscream's like, "Oh yes, this is hot."
Why would I want to watch this?
It's the best. And he's got Megatron goes like, "Starscream, why are there buttery crumbs in the jam and jam crumbs in the butter?" And he's like, I don't know, it's fucking amazing.
I'll take your word for it.
I hope you're enjoying your pornography and toast. Yeah. All right. But at the very end of it, while Rodimus is banging RC, you see like Optimus Prime just come into frame on the porno movie that he's watching, and Starscream's like, "Prime!" And then Megatron's like, "Prime!" And Starscream just blows his load. It's so good. It's a classic.
What a
flash.
Way to start the podcast talking about Transformers pornography.
I told you we were going to be talking about dicks.
Rule 34.
Told you we were talking about dicks.
Yeah. All right, so first off, I wanted to give a local Chicagoland startup for this mega podcast and talk about the auction a little bit. Steve didn't go. Pat didn't go. Pat wanted to go Friday.
Badly.
Steve didn't want to go because Steve...
I avoid the auction.
You avoid the auction.
I do list my items in there.
The auction was a very small auction, at least for the mini auction. Was not a lot of people there either, and I was very surprised by that. I actually had a seat the entire auction.
Wow.
Was this all at the same place?
Yeah, all at the same place. There was no, like, really fat guy who takes up the three chairs.
And these are mine. Do not contest my dominance.
That would be his little friend.
He's like, how much shall I get for these West End Star Wars figures? And he wins it, and he's like, bring me Solo in. I set myself up for that one. I ended up with... I got Grind, the Privateer Press board game.
Oh, nice. It's like 8 free Warjacks.
I know. I got it for like $25. I was like, sweet!
Those Warjacks are very easy to convert into actual Warjacks.
Got myself some Manowar boats.
Manowar! Gods of Metal!
As you can see, Steve is doing the Manowar because this is a podcast.
Obviously, visual humor. I say it every time.
Well, now I finally get the jokes.
Manowar kills posers with steel!
Yeah, I was about to say that. Punch. I didn't get super a ton of shit. I just got a little bit. I didn't get much all around. But I wanted to bring it up because the auction is a good barometer of how, like, the gaming community in Chicagoland is. So you know what people are dumping and what people are picking up. A shit ton of Retribution from War Machine. Just like, there had to be at least 3 gigantic lots going.
That's surprising, because Hyperion actually just made them like competitive, like super competitive.
I don't know what it was. It was just everyone dumped it.
It's probably someone wanted to switch with a different faction, with a new Colossal or a Gargantuan.
I only say that because there was like three massive lots. And when I say massive lots, and the guys, I think it was 3 different people selling.
Yeah.
So the shit was going for, like, next to nothing. I should have picked it up, but I was like, I don't know.
Or it was guys who got re-energized for their force because of their Colossal or Gargantuan.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, well, I'm not going to play my... I'm never going to build this Red Army because I got this fucking Wolf Warden and he's badass.
Yeah, I'm not going to do this. But that was the only, like, War Machine Army. Like, there was little bits scattered all around, whatever.
There's always little bits.
Yeah, little bits scattered around. But that was, like, the 3...
Including crumbs and everyone's neckbeard.
It was, like... I swear to God, there was 3 Necron armies that were up for sale.
Really?
Yeah. It's the end of the Kron era.
It's not. That's the flying Kron army.
No, it's the end of the Kron era. I've said it.
Whatever.
Put my foot down.
Whatever, it's 40K.
40K. Is that your new thing now?
40K.
40K. Did you stay up all night thinking of that?
It took me from the last 40K. Podcast to this one to come up with that. I was like, what's an offensive word that people use to describe things that are bad? Douche. No, that's not offensive.
40 lame.
I went through a lot. Yeah, 40 lame. I did try. I almost settled on that, but I was just like, what people call it 40K? 40 gay. Gay, that's the one. Yeah. Because I couldn't figure out anything to work, go off of 40,000.
And you sit there and you're like, yeah. And you got a big smile on your face and you see the steam just coming out of your ears.
40 Badson. 40 Badson. Yeah. I got nothing.
There was a lot of Krons, a couple Tau armies.
Pew pew.
But we talked about that. Like, Tau is big, everyone's dumping it. And aside from that, it was just like a smattering of shit all over the place.
Did you get any sweet Cronopia figures?
No, I didn't.
What about Warzone?
There was 2 Warzone box sets being sold.
Oh, yeah?
But I already have a Warzone box set.
I like Mutant Chronicles. I think it's cool.
Mutant Chronicle blows.
Mutant Chronicles is cool.
Old school. Bauhaus versus Imperials.
That's Mutant Chronicles.
No, that's not. That's Breaker Warzone. Mutant Chronicles wasn't until later.
Warzone is Mutant Chronicles. If you look at this box, it says Warzone, and under that, Mutant Chronicles.
You know what? I'm just tired of your negative attitude.
It's not negative. I'm being right. You're just tired of being wrong.
Sorry, facts bum you out.
Oh!
I gotta go.
Dude, I want Pat on every cast.
From the guy that knows nothing.
From the guy that knows nothing about board games. We'll go into Pat's board gaming experience a little later.
Better not talk about Catton. We talked about that enough.
Pat's wife loves to get to ride.
Woo, woo.
It's a fun game, and it's educational. I mean, you learn about trains.
Where else are you going to learn where Sault Ste. Marie is?
The worst. God damn it. Did you at least add rules where you can collide your trains into each other? Or the trains could turn into big, like, kaiju, like, robots, and they could fight and topple the city?
Not a ton of Flames of War, which is unique, because normally there's, like, a shit ton of Flames of War.
Maybe it's hype from the new edition?
I think, personally, I think Flames of War has reached that tipping point where it's like people who are into Flames of War are now officially into Flames of War.
Yeah, they're in.
And no one, and people who are, like, no more people are going to get into Flames of War. This is it. We've reached maximum Flames of War.
Critical mass.
Critical mass on that. But I didn't get to go to the board game, but the board game auction ended fucking super early. Like, this was a very small auction, which is very surprising.
Really?
Yes.
That's usually the board game's, like, one of the biggest. It's like board game, and then minis are always neck and neck for bigger auctions.
Well, I remember last year the board game one was packed.
Yeah.
I hope my WoW loot cards sold.
Your what?
I sold some unscratched World Warcraft loot cards.
Okay.
I had a couple ones that were big money in there, so.
Big money?
Well, relative big money.
Well,
big money.
I ended up with $400 in store credit from all the crap I sold, and I still ended up with stuff that didn't sell. And I'm assuming it was some War Machine stuff that I put up that I just probably didn't get it sold till the end.
Okay.
Like, it was just some Menoth shit.
I made sure to go in with the plan of I'm not taking anything home, and absolutely every single thing I listed was $1.
Mm.
Everything.
But that's the thing, is, like, some stuff just didn't sell. There was a fucking one kid, there was a Space Crusade box set. Space Crusade. Game goes for about $150 on the bay. That's mint, you know, with all the figures and everything. This had no figures in it, but it had all of the cards and everything in there. Sold for $1. Because the person was like, oh, we'll take $1 for it. And no one raised their bid. And one kid did, and he goes, and the guy's like, sold for $1. And everyone just turned and went, what? Because everyone's like, this is going to sell for millions. I'm not going to pay for this.
Sold for $1.
That's
boss.
I was so pissed off.
That's so boss. Yeah. I like that it kind of trolled you a little bit.
It did. I was very upset
by that. I could see you there just being like, I should have bid. You see, all of the Grognard neckbeards, all did, they were all paralyzed, afraid of how much it was going to go. So some kid was just like, $1, and they gave it to him.
It was like this little. It was definitely the kid with no chin. $1?
One pack of Camel Crush cigarettes, please.
I saw a guy at the gas station who like was like the most ridiculous nerd stereotypical looking guy ever.
He was an Omega, wasn't he? He's not an Alpha, not a Beta. He's an Omega.
Omega, like absolutely. And he goes up after me after I finish my transaction, and I turn and I glance at him. I'm like, that's the nerdiest fucking man I've ever seen. And that's what he says. He's in one fluid exact voice.
One pack of Camel Crush cigarettes, please.
Cigarettes.
I was like, what? You are a cartoon. You are not a person. I got into Cool World here somehow.
I used to like when I used to smoke cigarettes, going to the place and ordering like I was in a movie, pack of smokes.
Aw, oh, you're so lame.
Or you go, it's like when you go to a bar and go, give me beer.
See, I wonder what brand you'd get if you just said pack of smokes. Do they hand you Marlboros?
I think they'd hand you Lucky
Strikes. I would hand you vagina slimes.
Vagina slimes.
Or Capris.
What are those? Spirit?
American Spirit.
Yeah, American Spirit.
Yeah, that's what I smoke.
American Spirit. Oh, those are the worst.
I think I just asked for that. I'd just be like, can I have some tobacco, please?
Tobacco. I do that. Tobacco's dirt. The thing is, cigarettes are super expensive. Tobacco, dirt cheap.
Yeah.
I actually, American Spirits was the last cigarette I ever had because I smoked it. And I said, this is the worst thing I've ever smoked in my life. Hadn't touched a cigarette since.
Did you see your spirit?
What type was it? It was like a million. That's the thing about American Spirits is I smoke one type that I think is good, but I've smoked other people's American Spirits, and I'm like, this is atrocious.
I thought the American Spirit was all the same.
No, there's like
straight tobacco in paper.
There's like 12 different types. There's like
Choctaw, Sequoia, Cherokee, Seminole. All those.
Seminole?
Seminole.
Oh, man.
Anyway, getting off the
secret. Prime!
What's good is that I did stick around for a very long time at the auction just because there was, like, no one there. So I was like, I'll stick around getting some good deals. But it gave me some time to walk around the shop, and I got to read through, like, 18 different rule sets to give a good idea of some stuff to talk about. Read through Bolt Action. And I know you don't give a crap about Bolt Action because World War II.
We're going in there and taking out the Nazis, man. That's all you know.
Taking out the Nazis?
Nazis.
I like how you were like, do the Nazis have laser guns?
Yeah. Do they have laser guns? Nope. I'm out.
I'm out. They ride dinosaurs, Steve.
We're gonna put Kremlin Joe in the cooler, and then we're gonna put those krauts away.
You don't want to play Jurassic Reich?
Dun, 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 Zeke Heil.
It's a friend run of dinosaurs. I read through that. I really, really like the rule set. I finally read through Dystopian Wars. with
Could you understand any bit of it?
Oh my god. It was the single most complicated rule set I think I've read since I read through what's the spaceship game?
Firestorm Armada?
Yeah, Firestorm Armada. Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck
is
going
on? Yeah, it's really hard to actually play their games. It's not even hard to... I don't even know if... I can't tell if there's a skill set involved or, like, what kind of skills it would take to win at that game, because it's just hard to actually play. You're like, how does it... Wait. I'm pushing my mans. Nope! You fought... You apparently failed the foible roll, so now your boat is turned upside down, and you have to turn around, and you can't look at the table, and I get to move my guys around. And you're like, is that a real rule? And then you're like, that sounds made up. And you look, and you're like, fuck, it is a real rule. Toot, toot. Fucking boats. So I imagine their skirmish rules are going to be like absurd.
I actually saw like a really, I think it was at whatever the big convention is in England at the time. And it's Salute, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, UK Salute.
There was a massive Dystopian Wars
battle scene.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, if you look it up, I'm sure you
the can, figures look sweet. I'm not gonna knock the figures.
Not the Dystopian Legions, but Dystopian Wars.
Oh, Wars.
Yeah,
oh.
The little boats guys.
Oh, okay.
The boats dudes.
Yeah, the boats look cool, but that game, I was like, I read the rule book and I was like, I'm out.
So, Call to Arms Starfleet, read through that. And I was just like, oh, this is like Call to Arms Babylon 5 or Call to Arms...
Except Babylon 5 has the filibuster rules, which really makes it stand apart.
So that you can put everything in session?
Yeah, you put everything in session. You'd be like, you can't move your troops. Why? Because we're debating.
Political debates. No, it was standard. I was just like, this looks all right, but I don't know why. It takes like everything that makes Star Trek Star Trek and just throws it out the window. It's like, oh, you like negotiating and you like, you know, the Kirk 3-punch combo. Well... You know, how about those scenes where they're just shooting phasers at each other? Because that's what you're going to play for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
There's a reason why there wasn't that many starship battles in Next Generation.
I mean, but the ones that they had were cool because they were spaced out. And then, like, there were always some, like, busted move involved. Like, the Picard maneuver.
Oh, the fucking Picard maneuver. Don't get me fucking started on the Picard maneuver.
What's wrong with the Picard maneuver? It looks awesome.
It's like, we go into warp. For all of a half a second, so it makes it look like there are two ships. Who is going to get confused by that?
Against Klingons. The Picard maneuver, there is no defense.
There is no defense.
Klingons. Klingons are going to get confused.
Klingons will just ram their ship into yours. That's the one thing about Klingons. It's like, you're trying to outmaneuver them or like battle them. They're just like, ram them! Because Klingons will totally die to take you out.
Of course. Because the day is a good day to die.
Exactly.
Yes.
Worf pretty much wants to take the Defiant to abort you at first contact. No one ever thinks to say, Worf, Captain, this ship costs more than pretty much anything else around us. We should really save the ship. It's not going to do anything. Look how big the Borg cube is. This isn't going to do shit.
Fuck it. Detach the disc. Let's go.
Yeah, the saucer. Separate saucer section. Dude, look, in the first episode, the saucer separation sequence, dude, it's like 5 minutes long, and it's like...
It's longer than that. It's literally 15-minute-long sequence. And they're like, oh, this is going to be amazing. We're going to do this all the time, and they don't do it again until Generations.
Yeah.
And that's when they destroy the ship. Because you know why? Deanna Troi's flying it. That's the reason why. Anytime Deanna Troi is flying the Enterprise, death and destruction.
Yeah, Deanna Troi's involved a lot of times people die. She's a bad luck charm.
She's awful. She's
poor Lieutenant Yar. She stood no chance against Deanna Troi's bad luck charm.
She stood no chance against the Tar Monster.
The Tar Monster.
It's like Deanna Troi is literally the albatross around the neck of Captain Picard.
Yeah.
There you go.
There are four lights.
That should just be an entire fucking Star Trek role-playing game right there where you are just a captive of the Cardassians.
And everyone has to go, there are four lights! So good.
That is probably the greatest Star Trek The Next Generation episode, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. And we actually had some suggestions to talk about on the podcast. Mm-hmm. On Twitter and on Facebook.
Well, first of all, Dan Delanois.
I've heard that name before.
The mighty Delanois and his beard.
I hung out with him at Hobby Night, and he wants to talk about Numenaria.
That's Monty Cook's
game. Are those
game.
Those things that you put out on your sidewalk with the candles inside the bag and the?
That's a jack-o'-lantern.
No, for Christmas. Luminary? He's from Minnesota. They do that weird shit up there.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Land of Lakes. It's a suburban thing.
Land of Lakes. Land of fucking psychos. I'm moving my chair over.
Yeah, but
it's just candles and bags.
Yes, that's what they all say.
It's a Monty Cook game. It takes place in, like, a super dystopian future.
Sci-fi?
It's super sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like, to the point of, like, it takes place a million and a half years in the future.
Looks cool. I know no mechanics. It's hard for me to discuss the game without mechanics, and it doesn't have any, like, miniatures or anything.
I'm always... Well, yeah.
It's Monty Cook, though. Like, the man makes good rules.
Yeah. I was interested...
Although the Kickstarter's closed. Way to go, Dan Delanois. All right, carry on. Sorry. I interrupted you, like, a million times.
He was describing it to me, and I went and looked it online. And it basically takes place, like, 2 million years in the future. Like, so many times, like... Remember in Futurama, like, when he goes from 2000 to 3000, like, all civilizations grow and then get destroyed and grow.
That's UFOs.
That's what, like, essentially has happened. With, like, civilization has grown and been destroyed so many times that it's, like, a completely different world.
It's the end of the cycle.
Yeah. And there's, like, all these different, like, versions of humanity that are out there and that you could play amongst them. And that's what's pretty cool to me. So, like, there's the people who...
Post-humans?
Post-humans who worship technology as magic and so on and so forth all the way down the line.
That's pretty boss.
Yeah. It seemed like a really cool concept, and I like that idea. I don't like post-apocalyptic as much because I think it's overdone right now.
I don't know about... I don't really say... It doesn't matter about the overdone. Playing a post-apocalyptic game in, like, the tradition of Mad Max, the amount of, like, play you get... is really difficult because you're going to have... You go to the town has issues, and you solve those important issues, or you kill the town and take their stuff.
So, Borderlands.
And, yeah, yes. It's pretty much Borderlands. Like, it's like playing an RPG version of Borderlands, and Borderlands is miserable, so, like, playing...
Ooh, you like Borderlands?
I liked the first one a little bit, but then I kind of fell off because it was too... At first, they start you off saying, "Oh, it's a first-person shooter. Have fun." And then all of a sudden, it's like,
"It's Diablo."
It's not a first-person shooter.
It's actually Diablo.
it's Diablo. I mean, it's cool for what it is, but it's not my style of game. Not my kind of game. Yeah. Not that it has to be mindless, you know, Modern Warfare stuff. But
Modern Warfare is shit. It's worse than Borderlands.
Yeah, it's horrible. It is. Modern Warfare is bad. But
just suck each other's dicks already.
I already jerked off before you guys got here, so...
You jerked off into his carfie?
I jerked off into the carfie.
Frack. Frack. Frackin' Baltar. My problem with dystopian future is it's overdone at this point. So many things are dystopian.
Where are you gonna go? Like, it would work great for, like, a one-shot, or we're playing it for... doesn't work for, like, the classic... thought of D&D campaign that's like, we played that campaign for like 3 years, and then we were slain by a lich.
That would work
really well for one, like Gamma World. Gamma World is the D&D version.
Yeah.
Like, that works really well for a one shot. Like, you grab some pre-mades and you go do something stupid, like, you know, invade like the abandoned robot factory and like fight furries.
Robot factory. Yeah. Robot factory.
Sex robot. Sex robot.
What does he want?
Sex robot. Sex robot.
Where does he come from?
Sex robot.
He wants sex.
I'm confused and disturbed.
Internet memes.
But this dystopian future, I'm done with it. I like the idea of this being like the far flung future, like so far ahead that you get to do like really weird, fun stuff with it. Like Like, high space adventure is still something that should be coming back, and it's not. Like Star Jammers, for the most part.
Well,
like,
one of the first D&D worlds I designed for my own Campagans at home was a D&D world in the distant future. And there's relics of the past. So the players were traveling in essentially what was the Underdark, but not the Underdark. And they found, like, an old, like, rusted-out car. And, like, I'm describing it to them because, you know, I didn't want to tell them. You're like, you find a car. You know, I'm describing, like, what it looks like and, like, the oxidization and all the rust on it. And they're like, is it a fucking car? And I'm like, yes, it's a car. And they found out that, like, they were playing in the future. And then that was – the whole thing was
– oh, my God. We were on Earth all along. You mean it.
The idea was I wasn't trying to make it that kind of a plot twist. The idea was, like, the actual main goal of the campaign was that they would go travel in time and prevent the disaster that created their world, thus unmaking themselves.
That's
sucky. Because the main villain of the campaign is the one who destroyed the world in the past, so they had to stop him. But if they stop him from destroying the world, they die.
Okay, so I looked this up. Numenera gameplay involves a simple D20 roll that determines success or failure of any kind of action. So it's a D20 system.
Okay.
All right, to avoid a lot of cumbersome math at the game table, there aren't a lot of modifiers to this roll. So, not a lot of modifiers. There we go. Characters earn XP when they make new, interesting discoveries. I discovered my belly button. How many XP do I get?
I discovered some donuts.
I got Mountain Dew and Funyuns.
Oh, man, that's worth at least 3 levels. Hand it over here, Jim.
Yes!
Oh, that's fucking such a kiss-ass. How come Jim's at, like, level 20?
The game has also been uniquely designed to make things easier on the GM. The goal is to decrease the amount of time the GM spends juggling game stats and allow him to instead to focus entirely on the story and the action at hand. Creatures, NPCs, and situations are easy to make up entirely on the fly and even easier to run. So there you go, Steve.
That's good. That sounds like a good rules light system.
And there's a big picture of a chick riding a dinosaur.
Sounds all right. Is it a robot dinosaur?
It's a Nazi dinosaur.
Is it a robot Nazi dinosaur zombie?
Yes.
Nice, you hit all the big points there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's and before we go on to the next thing, I just wanted to point out that Games Day, Memphis. Just so we can hit this really quickly. Games Day, Memphis.
Memphis, y'all.
So if you're looking to win what I like to call an easy demon.
A Freeman.
Go to Memphis, enter Lord of the Rings. And you essentially win.
Yeah, enter every Lord of the Rings category. Just cover all your bases. Hey, you might win. You might win all.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Same. And one guy has won gold in all the Lord of the Rings categories.
It's Jeff Wilson.
Hey, look at that.
I used to.
What else?
Working for Games Workshop and going to Atlanta Games Day was awesome because I didn't do anything at Atlanta Games Day. It was like getting free money.
Please, Hotlanta. credit where credit's due.
We used to have the after party where we go and we drink, and I was outside smoking, and I was feeling terrible because my allergies were killing me, and this guy comes up, this big, massive black man. I'm talking, like, probably 6'8", probably 325.
Carl Weathers?
350. He looked like Carl Weathers, except he looked a little bit more like CeeLo Green.
Did he play for the Falcons?
He did play for, the Atlanta Falcons. He comes up, and he's smoking a cigar, and he goes, "What are you up to?" And I'm like, "I'm just... you know, just having a beer, you know, just having some smoke," and he's like, "You like cocaine?" "Not really." And he's like, "Oh man, because I know this place, it's a strip club in the guy's basement, so much cocaine." And I'm just like, "Is this really happening to me?"
Strip club in the guy's basement, huh?
I mean,
strip
I talked to the guy. Yeah. The guy was awesome. I cannot remember his name off the top of my head. But he was like a pretty sweet guy. We talked for like 20 minutes. It was like, I had an interesting conversation with him.
Fair enough.
But yeah, Atlanta was always like, it was painfully empty. So like Memphis is going to be even worse.
You guys never got Coke though?
No, I never got the Coke.
Oh, dude, Ronnie on Twitter, he tweeted at me to discuss and plug the Vesperon Games Carnival Indiegogo that's going on right now.
Ooh.
They have it's a skirmish game.
Yeah, it's the one that's like, it looks like
Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of different factions in it, and there's like the plague doctors.
They're using like a hex base on those guys, aren't they?
It's a privateer style.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Privateer style base, and it's got like the plague doctors. One faction's clearly like Lovecraft. There's deep ones and shit. And what the Indiegogo is doing right now is it's for this giant Lovecraftian monster, and it's badass. Like, it's super good, and the price is really cheap.
Why do I know this? I know this from somewhere.
Vesperon. I put it on the Facebook.
I don't read your Facebook posts.
Anyway, so if you want a really big ass, sweet looking Chthonian monster, Vesperon Games Indiegogo. I can't pronounce the name of the creature.
El juego de miniaturas.
Yeah, that's juice miniatures.
Oh wow, that is pretty sweet looking.
Right?
Yeah,
we think it's sick. We'll link it on the Facebook page again after this cast.
Yeah, it looks like something that like out of like Bane Beast or something like that.
Yeah, it looks really nice. Their sculpts are actually pretty good. It made me look at the other stuff. I was like, their sculpts.
I've seen these guys before,
and they have some extra minis like Baba Yaga and stuff. Some other stuff that's coming up on their stretch goals. That's cool. That was tweeted at me, and then I was Facebooked.
Yeah, these minis are really sweet looking. These would be. Pretty nice. I mean, the poses are pretty fun. These are the epitome of boutique miniatures.
Yes, for sure. They're very cool poses. They would be good for like a Savage World style game where you've got some sort of crazy. There's actually a Deadlands.
Deadlands
in Nolans, and they would work really well for that, like, a really weird fucking New Orleans. You're like, you have some dude, he's the master of the carnival, but his face is actually a mask.
They got a pyramid head figure in this. Like,
yeah,
it's bullshit.
What are you gonna do?
It's like post-Katrina type thing.
Post-Katrina. Let's say pre-Katrina. Is Katrina funny yet? Has it been 10 years?
No, it's not 10 years. It's close.
Yeah,
it's all close. Right. It's almost.
All right, way to bring it up, man.
I don't know. Have you watched Treme?
No. I don't know what a Treme is.
Wait, it's Treme?
It's Treme. I was called Treme.
Yeah. I got yelled at. Like, what is Treme?
I was getting yelled at. It's a show on HBO. It's always, they always show previews for it during Boardwalk Empire and Game of Thrones.
I don't know. I've never seen any such things.
Yeah.
I mean, I've definitely seen Game of Thrones, but I don't have to watch commercials.
There's no commercials on Game of Thrones.
Well, in between. You know, when before you watch Game of Thrones, there's ads, and then after, there's more ads. I don't watch any of those. Nah. I don't have to.
Because you steal. J'accuse!
Hey, if they would give me a very cheap option to watch it legitimately, I would.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to pay $130 to get HBO just to watch Game of Thrones.
There's plenty of other quality programming on the channel.
It's pretty expensive.
No. I mean, Tron is on quite a bit.
And
Tron again, and more Tron.
Because, I've got Netflix. I can just watch what I want when I want it.
And then Batman Returns.
Batman Returns, nice.
I watch.
Not The Dark Knight, but Batman Returns with Michael Keaton.
Yes.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so good.
No.
Yeah. Well, I like watching Batman Returns on the screen. Lucius. I like, I watch Boardwalk Empire. That's my show I really like. Oh, sorry, Steve wants the iPad.
I need to go to the Facebook page so we can
I mean, I like that stuff. I think the boutique-y miniature style is cool, especially when there's like a decent game
built behind it. Do you have it as an app?
What, Facebook?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my Facebook page. Right.
That's fine. I just need to go to
my Facebook page. Jerk.
I don't want to mess up with your Facebook page.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I like that idea. I like that, and I think it'll do fairly well. I like all the new shit that's coming out right now, because I feel like it's been kind of stagnant lately. Oh, I got something really interesting to talk with you about in terms of Games Workshop, because I don't want to go over the chaos rules this podcast. I know that's probably what some people are going to be like. Hey, guy, how come I talk about the chaos rulebook?
Fuck that.
Here's my opinion of the chaos rulebook after buying it and going through it. Everything is good. Buy everything.
There you go.
Because it's everything in that army is ridiculous.
There you go. It's done.
And all your things about the monstrous creatures, like for the dreadnought and stuff. They all gain hell points back. They're all like,
oh yeah, they're absurd. Okay,
they're absurdly ridiculous.
Okay. So Alex Dingle wanted to talk about the X-Wing minigame. I don't play it. It's selling very well. People are hyped about it. They say it's very fun.
Accessories are popping up all over the place. One of the companies just put out the little bendable tops so that you can put on
there
and make your guys like look like they're jinking to the left.
It's a smash. It's a smash it.
It is a smash it. Chris.
We already bitched about the auction for Rudy John.
Yeah, Chris K. He keeps texting me. He's like, oh man, X-Wing is going. He's the guy that really, really, really loves Star Wars. He keeps texting me. He's like, you know, I see it for this price on so-and-so.
You should just text him back every time. Just be like, Misa, don't think that's such a good idea, Annie. And just call him Annie.
I keep telling him, I go, it's a great idea. Go ahead, do it.
Look at all the fucks I give. Look at the mannequin.
Yeah, X-Wing is selling pretty well.
Fuck that. I mean, it's selling well. It looks good. I won't touch it.
If it looks good.
And then sitcom RPG progress. We have made as much progress as we made, and we talked about it in the last cast. Although I was thinking you could actually put a card element to it where you make it kind of like a GM-less RPG, which is, you know, kind of a new thing that's going on now. But you basically, you draw the situations
like
and the plots.
Like Wrath of a Charlatan?
Well, you draw the situations and the plots, and then you all act out your characters and make each other fucking laugh. And that, you know, that's the whole...
So we almost make it like a board game as opposed to an RPG game.
It's not a... Did you watch Tabletop with Will Wheaton?
With Will Wheaton, yeah.
Did you see Fiasco?
Yeah.
How Fiasco is run with there's no GM.
Yeah.
The players police themselves.
I watched about 10 minutes of that episode and I just went, I can't watch anymore.
It was a fiasco?
It was a fiasco.
Well, because the way it works is you don't have everyone act in the same scene. So if, you know, we'll just say Seinfeld. I'll be George, you can be Kramer, and you will be Elaine.
All right, you can be Jerry. Well, I'm going to be Jerry.
All right, fine, you can be Jerry. And Pat's Elaine. Okay. And so, like, George and Elaine would have a scene, and he'd be like, Elaine, you gotta try these pudding skin singles, and she tries to push her muffin tops, and then after we're done, you, like, rate it, and you're like, which one of us won the scene, which one of us was funnier, you give them a point, and then so on and so forth, you can go around the table.
This idea. We need to do this.
It would be fun. And you can have, and then you give, like, the zany neighbor, you use the cards, because it'll, like, you can play roulette, where, like, you get dealt a gender and an archetype, like, what kind of character are you, and then you for plot points and for supporting cast, you pull them out randomly.
We have to have, like, jobs, like, for the people, because there have to be, like, newspaper writer.
Oh, for sure.
Bartender.
For sure.
80s comedian. Cartoonist.
Oh, cartoonist. That's a good one.
Because everyone was a cartoonist in 80s sitcoms.
How the fuck?
There's a button on the top. Yeah.
Oh. I just pushed
this. Or a postal worker.
Right. Or a postal worker, yeah.
So that's the sitcom RPG progress. It's actually something I think about every so often. Making real.
I don't ever think about making it real. I just sit there and I go, that'd be funny.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's something we could make that wouldn't be very expensive. We could kickstart it. People might want to play it. It's funny. I mean, people like sitcoms, and there's no good sitcoms on television, so might as well make your own.
I'm the brother. Yeah, Ray Romano. What are you doing?
Are we doing dueling Ray Romanos?
He actually just sounds. He just sounds like the guy from Venture Brothers. Yeah. Oh, dude, look at you, all Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, look at you, all Kevin Smith. Oh, my stanza. Oh, the stanza. Get away from him, rookie.
That's what I'm saying. We do dueling Ray Romanos.
Oh, he's telling us his backstory. It's making it more sad. Bum 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 bum. Bum bum.
I'm
gonna make you squeal like a pig.
All right, so that's the sitcom RPG progress. And then airbrushing for noobs. Buy your airbrush, use your airbrush, learn how it works.
Use GW paints because they're really already set for airbrush levels. Don't use the hand flamer airbrush that GW puts up. This is the worst piece of shit on the planet.
And test on things you don't give a shit about.
Not even.
Well, because then you can experiment and you're not going to get butthurt because you're like, oh my god, my $400 Chaos Marine army is fucking ruined. This bolt gun spray just clogged up and now they have like big, soggy, soppy shoes.
The bigger problem is that the fact that the paints, all paints have gone up in price, but just in general, is that paints are expensive and you don't want to waste the paint. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I find myself doing that a lot. Because now I have like my scorpion green just goes everywhere. I'm like, no, this is like a $6 bottle. This is taking food out of my child's mouth.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I
imagine you sitting in squalor. Just you no longer have anything. Your house is crumbling. You've been left by everyone. You're alone, and you're like, you've got your airbrush, and you're like, I've got one paint pot left, and you just load it in, and it just fires out into the corner. You're like,
Lemon rust everywhere.
And you just drop to your knees and you're like, Con!
No, it's the post-apocalypse. It's dystopian future. My house is crumbled. I'm sitting there. All I got left is my one paint bottle and my airbrush. And I'm like, it's all the time in the world.
And the paint just flies everywhere.
It's like, no!
The airbrush nozzle breaks. Just like, oh!
I have enough air in my compressor to paint one figure. And all of a sudden, I hit the air release on the side, and I'm like, no!
or you line up to spray a space marine. You're like, I'm gonna make it a space marine because he'll make me feel. And you slip and you spray Aragorn, and you're like, Aragorn, Lord of the Rings, no, Aragorn.
So is that
Mr. Frodo?
Do we have anything else?
One other thing was, I'm just not gonna mention it. I'm just gonna say, play hard, go pro, Counter Strikes. That was
are we talking about Counter Strike?
I don't know. That was something else.
Counter Strike reference?
No, it's not. I have no idea what. I think it's something.
Pat loves Counter Strike.
Yeah.
Counter Strike Source.
We'll go to like a convention and be at a hotel room, and he'll look up and go, "Let's make a great Counter Strike map."
The Hilton Wood.
The Hilton Wood.
There you go. That was everything I was tweeted at that I saw and everything that I was Facebooked at. So I've now covered all the little bases.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So Pat is a. Oh, Pat's on here. We'll talk about video games in a little bit because that's Pat's forte. Yep. But I want to talk about Pat's foray into board gaming. He's just kind of gotten into it a little bit,
just a tiny bit. I've slowly been exposed. Yeah, just a little bit. I've been listening to the Game Classy podcast, and I've learned a lot. It started out just me being curious about it, And I've actually learned a lot, which sucks.
He's bi-curious.
It's like, I know the words, but I don't know any of the meanings behind them. So.
Space Marines?
Spacha Marines. You know. Marnius Coolgar. Well, the best thing is if he ever actually gets into a minis game, he'll have what we say. So he'll be like, oh, is that Marnius Coolgar? Sweet. And they'll look at him and be like, what?
He'll go to the bunker and be like, I'm looking for a Marnius Coolgar figure.
I want
to
verse my team.
And Lyson will go,
I want to verse my team.
I want to verse my team. Throw some chops. Can we throw chops?
If I ever see that guy who got super on tilt when I did that at the bunker again, I'm definitely going to just go full force at him.
Nerds.
Nerds.
I know once you guys said Lemon Rust, that stuck with me for a while.
Lemon Rust.
Lemon Rust. Saying Lemon Rust.
Yeah, I say it at work.
Lemon Rust tanks.
It just sticks in my head. I'm just like, Lemon Rust.
Lemon Rust.
That's fucking great.
Or the tank. What was it, the tank? There's a guy with a model tank that's totally functional.
The Damocles.
The Damocles. Yeah, the Damocles.
It's resonating with people who it shouldn't resonate with. It's so good.
You guys see my Damocles?
Steve. Have you seen my Damocles?
Hey, Pat. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Damocles.
Yeah.
Why?
What? That's the other thing. That's the other thing. And I won't explain where that reference comes from because I say it at work to the cashier. She has no idea why. Full detail. Why? What the fuck are you talking about?
Steve, Battletech. Why? I still say that. Actually, there was at the auction, there was a good section of Battletech stuff that went for a lot of money. It looked older. It looked like some first edition stuff.
The Ralpartha stuff?
Yeah, almost Ralpartha.
That's collectors.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys who probably played when they were Wii. And they bought back. They're like, oh, what's this game? It's cool. Let's play it. And then they're
and now they're 60 years old and they're still playing the same game.
And they go, yeah, it looks cool. Let's play it.
Actually, now that I'm sitting here with you guys, I did have a question. Yeah. And I suppose I couldn't have asked it through Facebook, Twitter, or any other means. But the MechWarrior stuff. What's the problem with MechWarrior?
The miniatures game?
Well, I played a lot of the MechWarrior video games.
A
lot.
You played what's good about MechWarrior.
Oh, so the miniatures are no good.
Correct.
The miniatures, it's not...
Because I figured that'd be badass. Mainly just the models would be. The miniatures would be awesome.
No, the miniatures are the worst part.
Yeah, the miniatures are fucking awful.
Are they really?
Because you only really see... There's only a few janky mechs in... The video computer games.
Yeah.
Because everything's a mech. But there are mechs that look like potatoes with guns sticking out of them from every angle.
My favorite mechs are the ones that look like people. And they're just blocky humans and they have axes. And these guys are supposed to be 300,000 feet tall and this guy's got a giant axe. It's like, why would you
so he could clobber another mech with an axe? He's like this. He's like,
no, because usually the best ones are, the bipods with the missile launchers on the shoulders and stuff like that.
Right. He's like, I got guns upon guns upon guns. I'm shooting you.
Yeah. That's the whole point of the mech warriors. When I heard you guys. Well, dude, fucking tank it.
Well, the thing is we'll complain about Battletech and we'll be like, why are people playing this? People love Battletech. They love it like nobody's business. The RPG is still huge. The mini game is huge.
The RPG where you have to be super lucky and roll a bunch of percentiles successfully just to be a mech pilot.
Yeah.
Because you roll your entire life. So it's like, where were you born? What happened to you when you were a childhood? And you go through... There's so many roles making a character, and it's totally random. So I rolled a character. The whole idea is we're gonna play Battletech. We're gonna play the role playing game. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. My character was a fucking paraplegic. I rolled a paraplegic, a poor broke paraplegic who was a fucking orphan, and we're supposed to be playing heroes. I'm like, I'm a fucking wheelchair. I don't have any money. What the fuck? I need a hover chair.
Steve's like, I have no legs.
Steve's like Tom Cruise.
Oh no!
Fourth of July.
I lost these legs in the Great Battle.
It's so detailed. I didn't actually lose my legs. I was paralyzed. Because you could also lose your legs. Because if you just lose your legs, you can replace them with cybernetics. But if you're paralyzed, it doesn't work. So I was like, oh, fuck. And then someone else rolled the phenomenally rich. So, he got to go along a different path, and he ended up as, a top-flight mech pilot. So our party was me, the hobo, paralyzed hobo, the fucking super-rich mech pilot, a mercenary, and, a boat captain. An actual, boat captain. And they're like, this is the fucking dumbest game ever. And I literally went, the DM, he printed everything on PDFs, because he stole it, and... I leaned across the table and put my arm down, and I just shoved everything off the table. Dice, miniatures, chips, soda, just like it was a whoosh, and I was like, we're not playing this game.
And it's like, and BattleTech has like the single richest history of any.
Yeah, it goes back a ways. I mean, I remember I used to play mech games when I was a little kid.
No,
yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like inside like written history, the background. Yeah. There are tomes of BattleTech. Like,
yeah, it gets really goofy though because it's so big now. It spans, and everything's like, about clans.
4,000 years of like the background and the history, and everything's written about in detail. It's ridiculous. And I think it's a cool concept. I would never get into it because I just look at it and go, oh, that's a mountain to tackle.
You just look at it and you go, BattleTech. Why?
I want to go play with some elves.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I say a lot of things are terrible, and unfortunately when you say things are terrible, people take it personally, and they're like, they feel that you're calling them terrible because they like it. I don't give a fuck if they like it. They can like anything, you know? Yeah. Like, they could like eating shit while being peed on by Labradors, and like, that's fine for them.
You know? I'm glad that you're not personally attacking them.
Yeah, like, it's not a personal attack. I think it's stupid.
I think you personally attack people who are really into, like,
and there you guys go. That's the end of our podcast for this week. To get the second half, you got to listen to Play On Podcast, Episode 4, available on planetarbitrary.com. At the end of the Play On Podcast is actually a very special announcement about a new contest that we're going to be doing on the Facebook page. When this goes up, I'll probably put it up on Facebook, but I'm not going to explain it here. You got to go there to listen. And for those who don't give a crap about that, you can follow me at Planet Arbitrary, you could follow Steve at Game Classy, and you could follow Pat at Pat's Game Reviews. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs, and like our Facebook page, which is just plain old Game Classy. All right, see you guys in 2 weeks.